Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Insomniacs. We're back with part two of our Vampire Diaries discussion of the entire series. I'm back with my special guest, Deandra.
Heyo.
And, you know, what do you have any thoughts left over from the last episode that you wanted to pinpoint?
You know, I don't think there is, at least not at the moment, but I can remember.
For myself, I definitely had some thoughts, but I'll get into those when we get into our top five, just because mostly it was like Bonnie stuff that we didn't talk about. And I'm like, I can get into that when we talk about Bonnie, because it'll specifically notate why she is where she is on my list of top characters. But, you know, again, we'll get to it later. So, diving back in, we dropped off talking about the original family, specifically the original witch, which I thought was one of the funniest fucking puns that they did on the show, because they kept saying the original witch, and they're like, oh, well, we have to find, like, you know, the original witch who did the spell. And they're like, no, I mean, like, from the family of the originals, the witch.
That confused me so much. I was like, why are all the witches, like, black, but the OG white? And then I realized, I was like, oh, she wasn't the OG witch.
Yeah, she was just from the original family, which I thought was great that they did that, just to show they're like, oh no, it's not like witchcraft started with white people or anything like that, because her mentor was the black lady in their village. Yeah. Which I thought was funny, because that black lady does come up later on in Legacies, because that lady is the one who invented Malivore.
Is that a season 3 thing?
Maybe? No. It was definitely in, like, one of the first seasons or something. It's, like, they were in the woods and they showed, like, the symbol or whatever, like, the triad symbol.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because she created Malivore as a way to get rid of, essentially, vampires, I think. Or something along those lines. Yeah, I mean, Legacies has some real crazy lore going on over there, so we can get into that whenever we start talking about that episode. But the original witch, I thought that was funny.
Honestly, when I think about it, I feel like the storyline with the original family as a whole just kind of came and went much faster than I remembered it. I felt like it was more drawn out, but it's like what's his name, Michael?
Yeah, the vampire hunter.
Yeah, it was like, he died so much quicker than I remembered. I was like, I definitely thought he was more of an issue, and it's like, nah, they kind of knocked him out real quick.
Mom, I know.
Pretty quickly. I'm like,
I thought that was so funny, because they were all like, Michael, he's coming, he's gonna kill us. And I think really what it was is, when you watch it week to week, it seems a lot longer, because I've talked to this about other friends, like, about Riverdale, to one of our other friends, because she was talking about, like how on Riverdale, Archie was only in jail for, like, 2 seconds, and I was like, it felt like forever, but I was watching it week to week, so that's why it felt like that, and I think that's really where it comes from.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you binge it, you're all like, oh, he was there, and now he's gone.
Yes, I will. I'm like, Michael was gone pretty quickly. Like, stuff with the family just didn't last as long as I remember it.
Yeah, because even the original witch arc, I feel like, lasted longer than the father.
It did.
Like, she was more of an issue than he was. Yeah, but I mean, notably so, Michael's only, like, real thing was he's hard to kill because they couldn't find any white oak. And, like, he was their angry dad. Their angry, vindictive dad, which is where Klaus got it from.
I'm like, honestly, these poor kids, in a way of, like, both your parents just tried to kill you for doing something, like, for being something you never chose to be.
It's true. I think it's kind of funny how Klaus isn't even Michael's biological son, but still acts like him. So, there it is. It goes to show you, nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
You can breed a psychopath.
The cycle of the whole series overall, they were really hell-bent on making, like, everyone orphans.
I mean, yes. They really were, actually.
Like, literally, everyone, like, Tyler joined the orphan club, Elena was the head of it, like...
Oh, yeah.
Caroline eventually joins the club. The only one not in it is Matt. Whose mom, I think, is still technically alive. She's just an addict. And the dad that just was deadbeat.
No, the mom did die.
Oh, the mom did die?
Yeah, it's at the very end of season 8. she says, like, you remember she comes back because she was working for Catherine, and she was all like, if y'all kept up with me, y'all would have known that I died. I, like, fell down several years ago and died and went to hell. Which is kind of funny.
Damn.
I know.
But still, I guess he did have his dad, but did his dad die too? No.
No, I think the mom killed the dad. Like, she slit his throat.
Oh, so Matt, never mind. So Matt is part of the orphan club as well.
In the very end, they got him. He almost escaped. He almost escapes because, I mean, they killed his sister and his mom. And then his dad was still alive and they reconnected and were cool. And then they were like, nope.
What taking that from me? I was like, why did everyone need to be an orphan? Because y'all just hate parents that much.
I know, it's true. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to, like, hammer home that whole type of thing where, you know, like, one day your parents do die and you are, like, technically an orphan. But, I mean, not everyone, that doesn't happen to everyone before they're, like, 30.
Truly. I was like, they were all 18, basically. And it's like, well, I'm taking Bonnie. They had took her mom and her dad. Well, I guess her mom.
Oh, wait, her mom is still alive. Okay, so Bonnie is the one who escapes.
Yeah, I was like, her mom technically is alive, but took her around. Like, these kids were just not allowed to be happy. And it's like, I didn't choose this. I can't live in a town like this. I have to go. You're altering my life too much, and I didn't ask you to do this.
I know. I always think about how many people never left, really. Well, except for Tyler. Tyler left, but he still died.
Yeah.
So, I guess you can't really win. So the original witch turned Alaric into what I like to call Alaric the Vampire Hunter, part two. Because, I mean, he was a vampire hunter before, but this was really part two, because this was around when he was going crazy, because it's like, the ring is making me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't understand. I didn't understand the logic behind that. I thought it was like one of those things where someone else jumped into their body by accident or, like, came back with them when they came back to life, which I think would have been a little bit of a better arc, like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing, which I think they were trying to do. But they were like, he's just going insane.
Yeah, but it's like, it was, like, I guess the spirit of someone or something. It's like, how many times can you die without it affecting you? And, like, is it the same thing happened to Jeremy?
Not in the same sense, because then Jeremy became a one of those super rare vampire hunters. I think they're called the Seven or something like that. He became like one of those super vampire hunters. And once you become one of them, you're supernatural. So he couldn't even use the ring anymore. So it like kept him from doing that.
True.
They were concerned about Matt, which is funny because Matt used it several times and was totally fine. Well, he did get slightly more aggressive in the latter season, so maybe it did affect him. I don't know.
Yeah. His tolerance for vampire shit went out the window slowly but surely. That could be it. He just had more humanity to be like, I don't want to fuck y'all up, but I'm also tired of your shit.
Exactly. I did kind of like this arc of, like, Rick doing something other than, like, you know, because I feel like at this point everyone has kind of did that like dip to the bad side type thing where it's like, oh, I'm a, like, we're all good people, but it's like, oh, I became bad by accident because of something random that was happening to me. Well, except for, you know, the vampires who are just like, I'm just turn off my emotions and be bad.
It's honestly with my favorite. It's like annoying, but it's like, I like it.
I know, honestly, when we get to like Whitmore, Caroline was like the worst when it came to that. She was the baddest of them all.
Caroline was the, I will save my comments for that. I was like, that's the person I was thinking of as turning their emotions off. I had many feelings around it.
But we can jump over there to Whitmore, because I really don't feel like there was much else after, for Rick the Vampire Hunter, because he just ended up dying.
Yeah.
That, like, he died, and then he was on the other side, and he was, like, ghosting them, I guess. Well, like, haunting them, like, being around.
I'm like, jumping to Whitmore, I'm like, Caroline turning off her emotions, and there's a bunch of shit that happened at Whitmore, but really, if we're jumping to her turning off her emotions, I'm like, I was with her. I was in full support of Caroline turning her emotions off, because I'm like, I understand why. Elena, you hypocrite. Like, keep her in check. Like, she's making a decision.
Yeah.
Just like you did.
It's true.
And then when she did it, she was like, here are my rules. Literally, don't get in my way. I won't kill nobody. I won't be like, just let me have my uninhibited fun. But no. y'all just had to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So y'all got what y'all deserve. She said, don't fuck with me. And now you're getting what you asked for.
I mean, it's true. She really did just, you can't, I literally told you the stipulations of this agreement. Y'all said yes. Well, they really didn't have a choice in the matter. She was like, this is happening whether you want it to or not.
True. And it's like, y'all are trying to make a decision for her. I'm like, what happened to like, oh, making your own decision for her? But this isn't what's best for her. I'm like, she's literally not hurting anyone. Ripper Stefan. Like, Elena, you killed somebody and you didn't even have rules for yourself. Like, get the fuck out of my face. Caroline had the most control over herself with no emotions. Like, out of everyone. Everyone else just kind of, like, became these other people. Like, oh, I don't care. Like, she didn't care, but a piece of her still cared because she had that, like, Stefan killed people. She said, I gotta clean this shit up. I'm trying to keep a low profile. I'm like, I'm not trying to be like you and be reckless. Like, I want to eat, have fun, do my shit. And I'm like, the only thing is like, she never said when she could have her emotions turned back on. It's just like, okay, I'll let you have your fun, but when can we make the step to turn your emotions back on? Because usually you don't want them turned back on ever.
Yeah. I mean, it could have taken the Damon route where, like, she just had them off and then one day it just, like, flipped or something. But I don't know. It was very much one of those situations where I want to say she said it was going to be like, I'm going to do like a year with my emotions off or something like that. But I don't remember if she actually did say like a year or not.
Mm. I was like, y'all should have just let her be. She was in control. She wasn't doing nothing. She was keeping a low profile. Like, she literally wasn't doing anything to hurt anyone's mission. But no.
Well, okay. Do you know what's really funny on this show versus, let's say, True Blood? So, like, you know how on Vampire Diaries, when they bite you, they leave the mark or whatever, and then people just wear scarves and shit? I'm like, why don't you bite someplace that's not super obvious? But they don't do that, because I guess, you know, it's a cable show, so they can't get too sexual, where it's all like, oh, I bit you on your femoral artery and on your inner thigh or whatever, because that's too sexy. Because that's what they were doing on True Blood and shit. But on True Blood, they would be like, oh, I'm just going to use a little bit of my vampire blood, and then I'm going to put it on the mark and heal it so that no one knows that it even happened. I'm like, why weren't y'all doing that? Because vampire blood heals humans. I'm like,
yeah.
I'd be like, just don't. Oh, maybe it's because, like, so, like, the difference between the two, like, on True Blood, you had to, like, give them your blood and then, like, bury them, and then, like, as the sire, you also had to be buried with them so that they could, like, become a vampire. But on Vampire Diaries, they just had to die. So maybe they were like, oh, I don't want to accidentally make a vampire, blah, blah, blah.
But no.
Yeah, because that's a lot more work. Because every time they've accidentally made one, it's been like, well.
No, they got to die. It's like, we didn't mean to make you, and we don't want the responsibility, so we're just going to take you out.
Exactly. I'm not going to teach you how to be a better person or anything. No. I'm just done deezy.
I didn't ask for this.
Yeah, Whitmore was like a very interesting arc, because I found it funny that they were trying to go to college. I'm like, y'all really want to go to college of all things that y'all could do right now? Like, now you don't have to worry about any of the school shit, and you're just like, hey, let me go do more of it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, because again, none of them ask to be vampires. It's like, it's not like they, I get their goals or like wants not changing. It's like, if before you were a vampire, you were looking forward to going to college with your best friends and having this whole experience, and it's like, well, no, I'm a fucking vampire and I didn't ask for that, but I still want to try and live a normal life. It's like, I don't want all the extra stuff that comes with being a vampire. I don't want that. I want this part. I get to live. I want this experience, yada, yada. I'll pull a Twilight and move every few years if I need to, but, like, I want the experience. I want it.
Yeah, they very much were doing a, I'm not going to let being a vampire inhibit my wants and goals and me living a normal life. Because they were very much like, I'm going to live a normal life sans the fact that I'm a vampire.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess for your first lifetime, that would be fun. It's like, but, you know, after the first time, you'd be like, well, I'm a little bored. Or just, well, I guess you would have to live, like, a long, long time. Like, probably, like, as long as the originals before you really start getting bored. Because for me, I feel like I would just change the variables of which I was doing the last couple of times. Mm. But, like, now I'm doing something different. Like, last lifetime, I was an artist. This lifetime, I'm going to be a dental hygienist.
True. It's like, you can really be anything you want, but I guess the first time around, it's like, well, let me just get this experience out of the way.
Yeah.
With life trying to be seemingly normal and live that as much as I can before I'm alive without people I love for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I would have to, like, live several centuries before I'm like, all right, I'm going to try being a doctor. But Elena, out the gate, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm like, you're a vampire, bitch. What do you...
How do you expect to do that?
Exactly. Like, and, you know, it didn't work that well for her. Because, well, I mean, in the end, she ended up becoming a fucking doctor. But, you know. So Whitmore, they introduced a lot of random things. So they introduced Whitmore House, which was this secret society of, like, experimenters or something. I don't even know what they were exactly. They just, like...
They were experimenting on, like, vampires, you know, like, or scientists, kind of.
Yeah, they were, like, higher learning scientists who were, like, experimenting on vampires. And then Elena found out that her dad was also a member.
Oh.
I know. Her parents, for being dead, did get up to a lot.
They did. Although the mom, not so much. It was more the dad who had stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, he was a Gilbert.
That Gilbert line. Yeah, like that Gilbert line. This is where we... Enzo.
Yes, this is when they first introduced Enzo. So they introduced Enzo, they introduced Caroline's, well, I don't even know if he was her boyfriend. It was just like the black guy, Jesse, that she wanted to date. Like, she really liked him.
Definitely.
And she, yeah, I'll say that she really tried her damnedest to keep him out of the vampire life. She was like, I'm like, I really like you, but I don't want to get involved because I'm a vampire. So, you know, but then she was just like, you know what? Fuck it. But it really wasn't her fault because other people were doing shit around them that had nothing to do with them. Like, yeah. You remember their first roommate, Haley Kiyoko, who fucking died? That was so
Haley Kiyoko?
Yes, that was Haley Kiyoko. I was like, bruh, there are so many random people in this show. This was almost like... It's like watching Grey's Anatomy or something where it's like damn near everyone's on the show.
Truly, there are so many people from Pretty Little Liars. Like, oh my God.
I know. Crazy. Bananas. Oh, we should talk about Pretty Little Liars one day. Ooh. Boy, do I have thoughts on that.
Jesus. I will say I would never rewatch it again, but I have enough up here in the tank ready to go.
You know that they're rebooting it, right? On HBO Max?
I don't know why. I am still out on if I'm going to watch it or not. Probably not, but I may give that first episode a try. We'll see how sassy it is, but go from there.
Well, I trust HBO Max at this point, so I'm absolutely going to watch it. Because I've seen what they've done to Gossip Girl, so I'm interested to know what they're going to do to Pretty Little Liars. Make it a little bit more sexy?
Wait, we'll discuss that after the fact, because I need to know your thoughts on Gossip Girl.
Oh, yes. Deep thoughts. But, yeah, you should definitely look it up. They've already cast, like, one of the girls that's going to be in it. It's going to be called Pretty Little Liars Original Sin. So I'm assuming that they're not rebooting it. It might be, like, an offshoot of, like, the universe or whatever. Which would be interesting in and of itself because I'm like, I imagine Rosewood has been through some shit
since then. I wouldn't want to move there.
I mean, you can't trust the cops, obviously. You can never trust the cops, but specifically in that town, they'll fuck your daughter.
Without remorse.
So let's see. We talked about Jesse. We talked about, well, we didn't really talk about Enzo all that much. All right. When they first introduced Enzo, I found him a little bit annoying. But after a while, I was like, I get where you're coming from. And when he originally turned his emotions off, I was very like, I was like, no, because he really did become like a total pain in my ass after that.
I remember liking Enzo a lot the first time, and then I did find him slightly more annoying this time. I was like, why are you this way? I feel like you're a good person, but I mean, you've been wrong, so you're like, well, now time to be bad, I guess. So it's like, but you're deep down, you seem like an all right person.
Yeah,
why are you doing this?
Revenge. And you know what, he was pretty good at it. I mean, he was going a little bit too far, especially with like when they delved into the Sarah Salvatore thing, and he was like, what's your secret, Stefan? I'm gonna find out your secret. And I'm like, why do you hate Stefan so much? You were just so envious of him. You're like, I want Damon to be my brother. And I'm like, do you want to fuck Damon? Is this what this is?
It's just his gay love story. He was like, you know, Damon didn't love me enough, so now I have to go after you because he loved you more.
I know. When Enzo killed himself, that was so fucking funny. Like, he had Stefan rip his heart out. I was like, now that is sociopathic behavior. Like, unhinged. The door, like, the door has no more hinges.
I was like, he was all right. And I was like, again, rewatching, I was like, there was so much my mind kind of blanked out. So it forgot all the bad parts. And I was like, I thought him and Damon were cool the whole time. So the whole revenge thing was just like kind of new for me again. I was like,
okay. I mean, they were cool up until he found out the stuff. He was like, yeah, we're good. And then he was like, oh, you killed the one woman that I loved. And I'm like, but it turns out she wasn't the one woman you loved. You loved a bunch of bitches.
Yeah.
So who's the real liar here? So why did you get so mad about this one bitch when you were like, no, actually, this one lady was the deepest love I've ever had. Yeah. I mean, we'll get to that later on. And I'm like, ugh, I don't even want to think about that. All right. So moving on. What else happened at Whitmore? Bonnie did eventually come back to life because she was dead at this point.
Bonnie being dead and them not knowing and her just coming back.
She was dead for months. She was dead for like a full half a year almost. And just sending people texts.
Like,
you know what? Wig. I love that. I love the drama of that. Disappearing. No one knowing where you are. Pretending you're alive.
Like, it was like, oh, she's just traveling. It's fine. But no one's spoken to her. I'm like,
no one. I know that is a little straight. Well, they were like, maybe she's just super emotional because of all the shit that we were going through, which I, again, that was also understandable. If at any point Bonnie was going to cut and run, that would have been the number one time to do it. Like, I would have gone to a completely different school all the way across the country. I'd be like, I will send you a letter sometimes.
Sure, but then they would have jumped through hoops to be like, hey, Bonnie, we really need you. We're like, we're going to give you this once and then you go back to your life. It's like, but no, I will never be rid of y'all. She couldn't even be rid of them in death.
Exactly. She's like, even in death, I have no peace.
Like, that poor girl went through it constantly. I was like, why do y'all hate Black people? But it's okay.
I know. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that after our last episode, because on all of the other Julie Plec shows, there is quite a bit of diversity, especially now. So I feel like they're kind of trying to make up for the subtle racism that was in the Vampire Diaries, because almost any new character that was introduced, they tried to introduce like diversity or whatever. But they would also be those expendable characters that would die. So I'm like, it was very much just like, thanks, I guess.
I'm like, you're one main Black character. Y'all put her through it constantly. Y'all killed her how many times? Y'all put her in a prison world for how long? With who?
Mm-hmm. See, a lot of those issues are alleviated in like legacies, because there's a good percentage of the cast that is like POC. So you're like, okay, everyone's going through it. Why? Because there's more POC characters and they're not the expendable ones that you're just going to kill off in the end.
Yeah.
Because I mean, now I will not give Pretty Little Liars that pass, because they absolutely, in every single fucking Black person that came in there was either a villain or a murder victim. Every single one. Every single one. Maya, Shauna, that one Black guy who was stalking Emily. Every single one. I'm like, what is up over here?
The villains. I'm like, Bonnie deserves so much more. And she did not deserve to have her life tied to that white woman. Like, even then, when she was allowed to live, her life depended on, like, letting this white woman live. Like, I'm like, if I die, she gets to have life. I'm like, wow.
It went from metaphorical to actuality.
I have to die in order for her to have life. So it's like, I now have to choose who's left to care about more. And she almost cared more about Elena. I'm like, Bonnie, love yourself. Live your life. You'll die when you die. Elena will deal with shit when she get back. Like, I might have been a bad friend at the end. I would have been like, you know what? I'm done with all this. I'm just going to live. If I accidentally die, cool. My friend gets to come back. But
I mean, that, I think that's why, like, at this point, I was, like, with Bonnie on her little journey, because this is when she started to become friends with Shane. What's his name, Shane? The guy.
Oh, the other, like, Black Witch?
No, that was seasons ago. I think it was, like, season two.
Damn, no, high school. You're right.
Yeah, because he was working with Klaus. But no, Shane, the guy who was like, oh, we're gonna raise Silas or whatever. I think that was his name. He was like a professor. And he was the one who taught her black magic.
Yeah.
By Lil Mix. That was definitely an interesting arc. I honestly enjoyed the whole Silas Kitsia thing. I loved Kitsia. I was a little annoyed that they got rid of her so quickly because I thought she was way more interesting.
She was interesting. I liked her.
Yeah. Also, I was fully with her. I was like, she's justified. Not everything she's told me, justified. Dude, you cannot tell me that she's the villain.
To be trapped, too. It's like, you did me dirty. I am a woman scorned. I need you to suffer. And what better way for you to suffer is being stuck with me for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want me? Guess what? You got me now. Because I thoroughly enjoyed that. Like, this was really another good arc that they came in after the whole originals thing. Because, like, once they decided to... Because at one point, I feel like they were definitely pushing for Klaus to become part of the main cast and be part of their story because they were working really hard with that Klaus-Caroline storyline, which, in my opinion, best romantic pairing that they could have done for her. Her and Stefan, I'm like, doesn't really make sense, but sure, I'll go with it. I will go with you on this journey, I guess. Because they tried to make it very romantic in the end, and I'm just like, I'm just rooting for Caroline. I'm not really rooting for Stefan. I'm just rooting for Caroline.
Yeah, but I'm like, her and Klaus weirdly made a good pair. I like
she made him a better person.
Yeah, I was like, I like the type of man he became because of her. I like the fact that we saw a softer side because of her. I'm like, y'all are so cute.
This again, this was just another well-built arc after that because they brought in the whole Silas and Kitsia thing and like Stefan also being a doppelganger. Which was very interesting.
Like, so if there was a Stefan doppelganger, does that mean there was another Elena doppelganger? Which, I mean, you could say yes, technically, not technically, because they did not let Elena's image die. It's like she died, and then we got another person that looked like her because it couldn't actually be her.
Yeah. I love when Damon said that about, what was her name, Raina? Like, that's way further down here, but like, Raina, she did look a lot like her.
I was like, we just get another one just because y'all couldn't have the actual Elena play this role too. Like,
I do wonder how the series would have panned out if Nina Dobrev would have just stuck with the show. I mean, she should have just stuck with the show. Because, I mean, what has she done after of notoriety?
I was about to ask, what has she done?
She was in one movie that I remember. Final Girls with Thaisa Farmiga and like a bunch of random other people, but like those are the two big names in that movie that I remember. Thaisa and Nina Dobrev, and that's literally it. I feel like she's been in a couple more movies since then as well, but again, nothing of like big notoriety on her IMDb. I'm sure the biggest credit still is The Vampire Diaries and Degrassi. Yeah.
I mean, maybe she was hoping Vampire Diaries had given her enough that she was like, okay, I can go do movies. And then she failed. And it's like, well, I guess I can come back for the finale and try this again.
Yeah. Should have just stuck with the series, girl. You should have came back for season 8. Whole season. Well, I don't know how they would have done that, but she should have.
Yeah.
But I don't think Kitsia did anything wrong. Everything when she was like explaining herself to Stefan, like her whole story, I was like, mm-hmm. So he literally betrayed you, hooked up with your handmaiden who looked like, what's-her-face. So you made them both immortal and heard the tether to the afterlife for all supernatural beings. I'm like, yeah, sounds about right. Check, 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 check.
Like, where are you wrong in all of this? You're not. You're justified. Go off. Like, do what you gotta do.
I know, but Silas was basically like Klaus 2.0. He was just as bad. And then he was unkillable. They couldn't figure out a way to kill other than the cure. Which, the way they got that cure into him, that was such a twisty turn. That cure was going from boo-woo.
The cure itself, I'm like, y'all really just making up rules at this point for people to take this.
I know.
Because ideally, it should have been one time, but it's like, oh, but if you drink the blood of the person that has the cure, I'm like, they're now the cure. But I'm like, but do they not die once you take their blood? Or, like, is it just, like, I don't know. The way they kept explaining it, I'm like, it seems like y'all are making up rules so certain people don't have to die in order to get this cure.
Yeah. So, the way I tried to rationalize it was, and I feel like this is the way that they tried to explain it as well, is if you take the cure, you become the cure, but when they drink your blood, you die of, like, natural causes or whatever. Which is why when when they took it from Catherine, she was dying of old age because she was old.
Oh. Which, I mean, I guess could be the case for, like, all of them. Well, most of them, excluding Elena.
Yeah, because she died at, like, 17, so she would just normally die of natural causes. Mm-hmm. So, which is why they tried to, like, rationalize that, and they're like, Damon will take the cure from her, and then she'll just live out a normal life.
But then I feel Damon would have died quicker than he did. Technically, he should have died quicker than he did.
But only if someone took the cure from him. So they would have to do it, like, when he's about to die.
Okay, gotcha.
But also, I don't know. Because I'm thinking about the, someone at one point, they gave, like, Stefan the cure, and it was, like, a shot or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know how it works at that point, because I'm like, you didn't even take that much. You only took, like, a shot. So I'm like, at that point, you never donate blood?
Okay, that's what, because it was, like, when they were hiding Elena's body, it was like, oh, let me get some of her blood and put it in him. I was like, so is some of the cure still in her? Like, how is this working? Or is it all in him now? Because, like, he didn't take all of her blood. So, like, what? It got confusing.
It did, because they definitely said before, when you take the cure, you have to drink all of their blood.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, no, you just need a shot now.
We may mind it. It's okay.
Exactly. We figured out a way to, like, we've been using Elena as, like, a test lab, and we figured out a way to turn this into a vaccine for everyone.
Truly, just take a little shot of blood and shoot it on up. And it's like, okay, I'm good now.
Yeah. Okay. So, moving on, we've got the Travelers and Marcos.
Oh, God. So much in this show happened.
This one's, like, one of those arcs that I kind of forgot about just because it felt like it was just so quick or whatever. But the Travelers were actually around for a while. They were just in the background doing whatever.
Yeah, because, like, that's when they were, like, taking over Matt and all that great stuff. But also trying to help, not trying to help Silas. Were they trying to defeat Silas to help Silas?
They were trying to defeat Silas. They were trying to kill him. Mm. They were trying to help them kill him, but, I mean, really, they were just trying to make our own homeland.
Ah.
Which was crazy, because when they turned all of Mystic Falls into, like, a magic-free zone, that was pretty crazy.
Truly, they said, we're trying to live in peace, y'all can leave, like, yes, we're going to take this, but it's what's owed to us, so y'all find somewhere else to go. Not our problem.
I know, which I found quite refreshing, honestly. It really forced them out of the town into Whitmore more, so they kind of were just always there at Whitmore.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I get it, it's y'all town or whatever, but if you don't tell your mama to move outside of town or something, get a house on the edge, like, I'm not that pressed to go back to that town. Nothing good happens in that town. Why do you want to go back besides your family? What other reason do you have?
If anything, it honestly made the town the safest it had ever been.
They did some good. They did more good than it being a not magic-free zone ever could have.
It kept all the vampires out, so there weren't any random mysterious deaths. I'm sure during that span of time, there people were just all like, oh, it's so nice. I can just leave my door open. Like,
I would be like, what changed? Who are these people? Like, you just got a whole bunch of new Nate. Well, I guess they were in people's bodies, so no one would have been asking questions. But
yeah,
people who did come into the town.
But also at the same time, a lot of people died in the town, so I'm sure they had, like, fucking free house, like, open houses.
When did Joe come in?
Yeah, Joe actually came in when they first started being at Whitmore, because she was Elena's mentor or whatever, because she was the doctor at the hospital.
Right.
So they had Joe around for a hot minute, because remember they took Rick. Rick had come back to life, and Rick was a vampire still.
Yeah.
But they took, he got thrown into the border of Mystic Falls and almost died, and then she saved his life with medicine, so he became human again.
Which makes sense, but doesn't at the same time. I'm like, so I was a vampire. You took me into the magic-free zone, so now I'm dying again, but you're just saving my life. So it's like, why couldn't someone do that the first time?
It was because he wasn't near a hospital. He was just going to fucking bleed out and die. Oh, it was like a severe wound. But because she was like a trauma surgeon, she could, like, actually treat it and be like, hey, I can get you patched up enough so we can get to the hospital and get this worked on correctly. But, you know, not everyone could do that because you remember Enzo died of consumption, so they ain't really a cure for that, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, there probably is, but you had to, like, get it at a certain point. I don't know. I'm gonna look that up after this is over. I'm like, is there a cure for consumption?
I think he was immune.
Yes. But when they brought in Joe, we didn't even know that this was going to be about, like, the Gemini Coven, which honestly was such a great story arc. In my opinion, their last really good story arc.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing was good. I love the Gemini Coven thing.
I like the continuation of it. The legacies. It's like, we're getting more of it.
Yes. Because Josie and Joe are the last surviving members of the Gemini Coven. Which is crazy because they have to, like, absorb their twin.
And it's like, all the last two. Who are you the leader of? Like,
exactly. I'm the leader of nothing.
Like, yay.
Oh, what a catch 22 on that one. Also, like, with the Gemini Coven, they brought in Liv and the gay brother whose name I forget.
I remember his name.
He's literally the only gay representation we got on the show at all, and we had to wait for, like, season 5 to basically get it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very subtle at that. It wasn't even, like, a main point. It's just like, oh, that's a character thing for him. Like, no, we're not going to dive into it. We don't care about his relationship. We're just going to use gay and that's that. Character trait.
I know. I'm thinking about, like, the teen shows that were on the air during that time period, and I feel like really Kurt and Blaine were, like, it, I feel like. Which is so sad.
It is. But hey, they're doing better now.
I mean, kind of, sort of. They still don't have enough queer POC characters, in my opinion. No. I mean, they're really trying with, like, you know, shows like Generation, who have, like, the whole cast is damn near, well, not the whole cast, all the characters are almost gay, but, you know, they be trying.
Baby steps.
Exactly. Yeah, baby steps in 2021. But they, with the Gemini Coven and Liv and the gay brother whose name I can't remember. I can't remember his name. He's so, like, whatever, I guess. And then Joe. We found out they're literally the only kids who survived. I don't even remember how many of them they said that there were, because they were the only two, they were the only sets of twins. It was Joe and Kai, and then Liv and
whatever his name is.
Yeah. I feel like it's, because her name is Olivia, so I'm like, well, no, their names weren't, like, similar in any sense, not like Joe and Kai, so, I mean.
Luke,
okay. Oh, okay, yep. I guess it's kind of similar, Olivia and Luke.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Also, we kind of glossed over the prison world thing. I completely forgot about that. I should have put Gemini Coven plus prison world, because the Gemini Coven apparently invented the prison world.
Oh.
Like, they had help.
Oh, well, no, because was it the Gemini Coven? Because that's where they put, because it wasn't Kai, wasn't the first one. It was, what's her name? The mom.
Lily. They also put her there. They're the only ones who had the ascendants, the corresponding ascendants for each prison world. So they invented prison worlds, but you need Bennett blood to, like, open it or, like, create it, kind of, which I find interesting. And I mean, they kind of explain that a bit more at the very end with, like, season 8, when Bonnie creates that whole, like, psychic prison world or psychic world for Enzo's ghost to go.
Yeah. Unknowingly, though.
Yeah. So I'm like, I guess, I'm like, that does make sense in the long run, because you're like, okay, because Bennett's can technically do that because Bonnie did, you would need the Bennett blood to create a prison world with an ascendant. So I'm like, okay, cool. All right, got you. Like, it makes sense. It's like, you just, it's like a really big spell and you need, like, these random things. But that prison world's arc, that was some shit. But also, were you, like, me and Loki kind of rooting for Bonnie and Kai to get together? Because, like, I know it was, like, it would have been too much of that whole, like, abuser, whatever type thing, but.
No, I was not there. I was not there. Kai and Bonnie? No.
Especially when he, like, absorbed Luke and started to become a better person. I was like, I kind of, like, no,
I could get behind rooting for Luke to just, not Luke, Kai to just be a better person in general.
Mm.
But not with Bonnie. Like, I stood by that girl having a seething hatred for that man. Every day. Like, I get, I'm like, no.
It's not like I didn't understand it. I completely got it. I just, the two of them had very good on-screen chemistry. So maybe that's why I was like, oh, I'm kind of vibing off your on-screen chemistry, because I love the actor who played Kai, because he played that role so well. So well.
I'm like, I guess I can understand where you're coming from in that sense. Bonnie, I think, does well with those, like, kind of good, bad guys.
Mm.
I.e. Enzo, like,
yeah,
he just kind of attracts that energy, and it's like, oh, if she's like Elena in the sense, it's like, oh, you're gonna make them better.
Yeah, maybe that's where she got it from. She's like, I'm just learning from my homegirl. I can fix the man, but can you really?
No, you just have to live with it.
I mean, in the end, you couldn't really fix Kai, because once he became a heretic vampire, because they left his ass in the other prison world when they went and got Lily.
Yeah, Lily's on
the nose. Oh, yes. She's right after this. Okay. I just wanted to button up the whole Kai thing. So, like, honestly, Kai came back and decided to fuck everything up, because he was like, oh, you left me? Now I'm mad. And I'm like, all right. So at first, you were crazy, and I was like, what's your problem? But now this is a rational reaction, but you're going to extreme.
Yeah, but at the same time, you did what you did. Like, it was deserved. You can't be like, oh, y'all left me here, now I'm mad. It's like, no, you did some fucked up shit that got you there in the first place. That's like committing a crime and being put in jail. And then when you're getting out, it's like, so y'all put me in jail, now I'm mad. But I'm like, you killed somebody to begin with. How are exactly. you mad if you got punished for doing a crime? Like,
you're right. I mean, I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just saying it made sense in the narrative of what he was doing and why he did it. But at the same time, I'm just like, fuck you, Kai. Especially because I'm like, damn, you can't let your sister have shit. You already had her magic. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to kill you at your wedding.
The way they would not let that die, as far as reminding, like, how he lost her at the wedding. It's like, my wife, well, almost wife, because did she say I do? She never got to say it, so it's always she's just stuck in the limbo of fiance, technically.
I mean, that was a low blow. That was a low blow.
Like, she never got those words out. So I was like, technically, y'all were never married. There was no paperwork. We had the video. Like, we saw she died before anything could actually go down.
I know. And for a second, I truly thought Damon was going to let Bonnie die at the fucking wedding, just to be all like, oh, I have to save Elena. But then he came back and he saved her. Because this was during that point where I really wanted to root for Damon and Bonnie's friendship, but he kept doing some shit where I'm like, bruh, you are not being a good friend. You are not being a good friend.
He had to learn. I will say that was my favorite thing to come out of the prison world. I liked the friendship that was built between them, because Bonnie hated Damon.
Yes, truly. Rightfully
so.
So
it's like seeing that change. Yeah, I was like seeing that change. I was like, you know what? I'm glad you're seeing why I like Damon, and now y'all can be great together. Like, what odd best friends to be. It's like,
but I know. For a moment, again, they had good on-screen chemistry too. So for a moment, I was just like, are they going to get them together?
That one I can support more. I'm like, I don't know if I wanted to see them together, but they did have really good on-screen chemistry. And the fact that I was like, I love this friendship. Like,
yeah.
You are taking the place of Elena and trying to continue making him a better person.
He had, like, they were basically taking him into, like, fucking human being rehab or something.
I mean, truly, he needs someone to care about in order to be a better person.
Yes. Okay.
If he doesn't, it's just, like, whatever.
So, at the end of this, when Kai was killed and Damon literally slapped his head off of his body, which I thought was honestly one of the best kills in the show, just... we got Lily, who, exactly, hated her. I was just like, fuck you, bitch.
She was annoying.
They were trying so hard to get this whole, like, well, at least the Salvatore boys, they were trying so hard to, like, oh, we want our mom back and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, bruh, mm-hmm. you lost your mom way before this. So I'm like, you're not getting her back. This is just some, essentially just pretend she looks like your mom.
Yeah. It's like, I get your issues. But at the same time, I'm like, she's like the equivalent of a deadbeat dad who went and started another family and said, well,
well, that's exactly what she did.
Like, she didn't, like, she cared more about those people. It's like, you were not her, like, you were still her son, but, like, she did not care about y'all as much as she cared about these other people anymore. So at some point, it's like,
knew.
Yeah, I was like, at some point, you gotta let her go. It's like, why am I caring so much for you when you could give two shits about
me? I agree. Especially when she exhibited numerous times that she was just like, look, I'll help you, but I'm not, like, you know, I'm not your mom. But so I was all for Damon being like, she needs to suffer, let's get her. I want her to experience so much joy so I can rip it away from her. You know, you want to hate Damon, but then he does shit like that and you're like, hilarious.
Understandably so. This girl came back with like five other kids. I'm like, what about us? And you didn't even try to include us in your family. It's not either we helped you get your people and you couldn't even try to include us in the family. It was like, no, I got my people. This is my family. Y'all stay good over there.
Maybe it was because it was, they were like, or at least she was like, you guys keep trying to kill them. So we can't be family. Because again, they took Mystic Falls too. They were just like, keep out. They were the other ones who were like, stay out. They fucked that town up. Now. You remember when they were driving around? I'm like, what is wrong with this town?
I was like, again, how anyone would want to move back? A town that has to say there's a gas leak so much, I gotta go.
Clearly you shouldn't live there.
No, I was like, this is a small town. I feel like if one thing goes, we all going down with it now.
Yeah, when those heretics blew up that cop that cop graduation, that was very funny.
It was a gas leak. What? No.
But at the same time, I think they may have been a little right because fuck 12.
I mean, yeah.
It's like, damn, that sucks for Matt, but Matt had to become 5-0, so.
You joined the club.
Exactly. Yeah, the heretics, I didn't care for them that much. This was, like, them trying to overcompensate for the fact that Elena wasn't there by introducing, like, a whole new ensemble of characters. Yeah. I mean, we did get, like, more queer people with, like, Mary Lou and What's-Her-Face, but I hated that bitch.
Okay, see, I didn't mind them as much. I will say they have a good trend of introducing these large number of people that are supposed to be that, like, the originals, but then they have very, like, humanistic redeeming qualities about them that makes you like them more. It's like, okay, you're a justified bad guy. And I'm like, I think it's the same for the heretics. I'm like, y'all are semi-justified, or at least you have qualities that make you seem not so bad. So when you do shit, it's like, okay, and I think doing too much, but I see why you're here.
Yeah, I agree with that. Especially with Valerie, when they explained her.
Yeah, I'm like,
I actually liked Valerie. Like, well, I grew to like her towards
it. And that's the thing, I was like, they're not all, like, bad. And it's like, it seems like the trend is, I didn't choose this life, someone else chose it for me. Or here I am living in a time where I have to now adjust if I'm learning these, like, Mary Louise, whoever her girlfriend name was, like, the whole thing was like, oh, we couldn't show our love in public, and now we're in a time where we can, and, like, that's just a new freeing thing. I'm like, Rebecca, coming in as a teenage girl in the 21st century, it's like, y'all are still mostly just kids, and, I mean, shit happened to you that you didn't choose to happen to you.
Exactly. They really just didn't want to give other people the chance to live. They didn't even give them the opportunity to do whatever before they were just like, no, you gotta go. They were just always in opposition for whatever reason.
Yeah. And I was like, at the end, I was like, oh, I don't mind y'all. I like the girls. I like the mute. I mean, as much as you can like a mute.
I know. I was like, why the black guy gotta be mute?
No lie. I'm like, well.
That was another thing I clocked. I was just like, so you gonna add this character, and they're like, oh, Bo.
And he can only speak. He can only speak when he's in the body of another, I think it was a white man. I'm like, nah. And then he still had to die. Still had to die.
Wrong. Raina Cruz. Because she was their huge opposition. She was like, I'm coming for you.
Raina. Who did she pass that thing off to?
Bonnie. She passed her curse off to Bonnie.
Right.
Which was kind of funny. She was like, I'm coming for you.
She's like, I'm going to find my peace, but you know who won't? Bonnie. Like, and the thing is, I should have known. It's like, who wasn't allowed to have peace? Bonnie. Who's never allowed to have peace? Like, this girl was in a loving relationship and is like, oh, well, now I have the urge to kill all of my friends and my boyfriend. Great.
I know. I don't know why she even did that to Bonnie specifically. And you know what? That is not POC solidarity right there. A Native American woman doing that.
Because it was supposed to save her life, remember? Because she was taking pills and they were like transferring her life into Bonnie's, but it was like the curse came with it. She just left that little tidbit set out.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll give her life, but she also inherits the curse just so y'all don't change your mind later.
Yeah. You know what? The fucking armory, fuck them for coming up with those pills.
Wait, what was the point?
Of the armory? I don't know. They really they used that as a vehicle, really, for, like, the whole Sirens arc that came on later, but it was really just, like, a supernatural dump location. I think what they were thinking of with that, the place, because I think Alark took it over when all the people got killed or whatever.
Isn't that the cool now? Or is that maybe not. Because didn't he change the armory into, like, the school? Or did he change something else into the school? Or did he just go to school?
So the school is, like, the old Salvatore house.
Oh, okay.
Because I guess the house was so big that they could just do that, I guess. I feel like they downplayed the fact that, I guess, this was a gigantic mansion estate or something.
Yeah, it's like it seemed big, but they never showed how big it was. And now you see that with the school, but not important. Back to the armory. Raina.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Raina Cruz thing was like, whatever. Again, this was another one of those arcs that I felt wasn't all that strong. They were doing a lot of the ping-ponging back and forth between, like, the future and then, like, the past. And it was very confusing. Annoying.
It was hard to keep up with what time we were in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like they would say 3 years ago, but then they wouldn't let us know when they jumped back to the present. So I'm like, wait, where are we?
I know. I had to just extrapolate in my mind. I'm like, all right, are the children here? Okay, so I know it's 3 years later.
Yeah, I'm like, Raina was, like, honestly, this whole show is nothing but just circumstantial things happening. She is another victim of, I didn't ask for any of this.
Well, her dad, she actually did. She's, like, one of the only ones who did ask for it, because her dad was one of the seven or whatever, like, those super rare vampire hunters. And then when he got killed, what's his face? Julian. He was haunted by the curse. Well, he was going to be. But then Raina had to tell him, be like, you're going to be haunted by the curse. And he was just like, oh, well, no, I'm not, because you're going to kill him. And then made her do it. And then the tribesmen cursed her with being Raina the Vampire Slayer. Which, literally, the way that they turned her into the Vampire Hunter is very similar to the origin of the Slayer in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because I've also seen that. So the Vampire Slayer was invented by a bunch of, like, tribesmen or whatever, and, you know, that's a whole, like, metaphor for, like, misogyny and blah blah blah, but that's a story for another day. But in this show, I thought it was funny that they did that, and then when they gave her the curse, they didn't tell her either. They were just like, bah.
So I guess she did pass on in the same way.
She's like, hey, they did it to me too, girl. It sucks, don't it? Smell you later.
Like, yeah, I was like, killing Raina was quite a time.
Yes,
until she basically gave her life up, and then it's like, okay, well. Also, trying, I don't know why they thought that it's like, oh, we'll kill, or we'll, like, when her sword or whatever was broken, it's like, oh, all the souls in my head. It's like, okay, we'll get your list. We'll kill these people. I'm like, do you know how many people she's killed? Do you know how long she's been alive? Y'all really think y'all can get through her whole list of people in her head? That don't make sense.
I know. But they did try their damnedest.
They really did.
It's kind of funny how quickly that just absolved itself. They're like, So we blew up the stone. All those souls of those vampires are all over the place. And they're just like, and end of scene. End of that. Because they moved on to the sirens thing so quickly after that. Like, them opening the vault and whatnot. Which I always thought was so funny. Because that one bitch who oversaw the armory, she's like, my sister's in there. I'm like, how long has your sister been in there? You really think she's still alive?
I can hear
her. I can hear her through the door, and I'm just like,
you're dealing with supernatural beings. You don't think. She always was so stupid. I'm like, you're dumb. Like, yes, I know she's in here. And then begging to be let out. Nah, you deserve to die. You unleashed this.
Even more than that, her sister was like in a psych ward. I'm like, do you not think that maybe you also might be crazy? You hearing voices? You don't think you crazy?
Like, of course she's dead, dummy. Like, what the hell?
How did you feel about the sirens? Because I actually liked Sybil. She was the one who took Damon and Enzo.
Yes. That was like the other semi-Elena tendency.
Lookalike.
I was like, another reincarnation of that girl. I liked Sybil. Did I like Sybil? I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate her. I mean, I didn't hate the sirens as a whole.
I didn't like the other one because I thought that was fucked up that she went and, like, took the girls. I thought that was so fucked up that she was like, oh, I'm going to pretend to be your babysitter for years, apparently, at least, like, a year, and then fucking abduct your kids. I'm like, no, at that point, she's got to go.
Yeah, like, no, it's not justified in the sense of, like, she was just trying to get freedom for her and her sister.
She was like, for my freedom, I will sell you two children.
Two impressionable children. It's like, I mean, honestly, in the grand scheme, Sybil was better. She's like, I have a better deal. Here's two grown men, one's a ripper, and one can literally be whatever you want him to be. Like, if he turns, like, versus two kids, you have to wait to grow up to do our job. It's like, no, here's two grown men ready to do what you need.
Who have already done bad things as well.
Yes, like, these girls haven't done, they're kids. They haven't done anything to deserve hell. These men, they're already going there, so you might as well use them.
Exactly. I'm like, see, that makes sense. Especially when you're like, well, you already going to hell anyway. You might as well do what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And with them, we were introduced to Cade the Devil. Now,
I thought Cade comical.
Yes.
I just love when they tried to kill him. He was like, what, you want to catch me on fire? Burst into flames. You want to take my heart out? Go ahead, try it. I'm like, the fact that they thought they could kill the devil. I'm like, how do you kill a being that's already, like, dead? Like, he's the devil. Where are you sending him when he dies? The thought process wasn't there. It's like, how do you expect to kill this man? He literally reigns over hell.
Where does he go? I don't know. I mean, they figured it out in the end because they're all like, we'll kill him by exposing him to the dimension in which he created or whatever. So, like, just essentially, like, redirecting all of the energy back to itself so that it, like, explodes. Like, yeah. So, I mean, like, they figured it out in the end and it made sense. But, you know, it was one of those things where you're just like, how the fuck are you going to do this?
Yeah.
It was a good big bad for them to finalize, to like button up this series and be like, this is your last big bad that you have to defeat. And it was like the actual devil. But at the same time, I'm like, the amount of things that they've gone through, like imagine writing that diary. Yeah. One time we killed the devil. Like,
honestly, it all happened so quickly. It's like he was introduced and then within three episodes, that shit was wrapped up. It's like, we're done. Like, we have that happened so quick.
The CW did not want to give them that many episodes. They were just like, no! It's over.
We're going to destroy hell, and that's going to be that on that.
And that was that on that. I mean, I'm looking back at it, I was about to say, I'm like, why did Cade the Devil have to be black?
Because the devil's always black. What do you mean?
No, he red. He's a red, like, person.
I know. Black seem more menacing. If he had, like, a white guy, no. He had this smooth voice. It's like...
I know. I mean, they did a good way of explaining as to why he was the devil. It's like he experienced such cruelty that he decided to take retribution in because of the way that he did it. He was deemed the devil or called the devil. And I'm like, yeah. But, again, it was one of those things where I'm like, he's the quote-unquote devil, but isn't he doing God's work?
That's all I'm going to say. He's technically just taking care of the people, kind of, that do bad things, and then that opens up a whole another can of worms of, like, he didn't give people a chance to redeem themselves, slash didn't see them as redeemable if they were able to do one bad thing in his life. Well, now yeah. You deserve hell.
Exactly. Because there was that one doctor or whatever. Because at one point they were just trying to tempt good people into doing bad things. And they're like, well, if you do bad things, you're a bad person. And I'm like,
but it's like, if I'm able to tempt you, then were you really a good person to begin with? It's like, yes, I think.
Yes. We're all capable of great benevolence and intolerable cruelty. We're that duality being. I can be your perfect angle or your devil. So we're finally here at the series finale. I was feeling epic.
Ooh.
I loved the title of this episode. Like, I thought it was a great title. Like, they'd be picking some good titles, but this one was a really good one.
I mean, you destroyed hell.
I know.
You took hellfire and redirected it back into hell.
And they did that.
Thanks, Vicky.
I really enjoyed the series finale. I think, rewatching it, I think it's definitely one up there in my list of, like, best series finales that I've seen. Because, in my opinion, there are just so many really bad ones. But, you know, this goes on the list with, like, How to Get Away and Charmed.
Oh. I mean, they did do a good job of kind of tying things up and, like, making things make sense in this entire crazy world. Of like, cool, we're actually getting endings for everyone. Even Stefan gets a happy ending, being reunited with what's her name?
Lexi. I loved Lexi.
Lexi. Poor girl. Was great.
I know, she showed up so much for being a dead girl. She died in like the first 5 or 6 episodes.
She did. And I honestly was in denial that she was dead. I was like, and because I remember her seeing her so much later, I was like, oh, she's not actually dead. And I was like, oh.
These are flashbacks and she's a ghost. Also, every time she popped up, she had even longer hair. Like, in the last episode, her hair was so goddamn long. I'm like, what are these? Y'all got hair out here in, like, 30-inch
Yankee. I've been here for a while. I may not age, but my hair keeps growing.
She said, you bitches can't even spell prop.
I was like, eh, that's cute. I'm like, Stefan died. I totally forgot he died, TBH. So that was kind of like, oh, okay, so.
He died at Caroline's weddings. So she got to join Rick in that one, too, for them to have a similar love story.
Unfortunate.
I know. Especially because they never actually got together at any point. But even, like, ooh, after the fact, they just co-parented Alaric and Caroline.
Oh, yeah, no, I never supported that. I'm like, it seems weird. I get co-parenting just because, like, you carry these kids, they may not be biologically yours, but like, it's the whole surrogate situation. It's like, well, yeah, I do care about these kids, so it's like, all right. But yeah, no, I did not support them being in a relationship at all, ever. It's like, no, y'all don't need to be together. This is weird. Let her go be happy with Klaus, wherever she may be.
Well, that wasn't gonna last either, because his ass dies too, so. That's a little bit of a spoiler, because I think I did tell you that, but I'm like, he does die in the originals.
Yeah. Honestly, you told me so many, I was like, well, do I even need to watch it now?
I mean, watching it all play out, it's very interesting, because it's just so much shit that happens, and paired with this, like, paired with the Vampire Diaries as well. Like, there's so much of that, what was happening in Mystic Falls was concurrent to what was happening in New Orleans, and vice versa, so... It's amazing that they only did, like, I think 2 crossover episodes.
Was it only 2?
Crazy. I think it was. Because they did, like, a weird time skip, and then they weren't in the same timeline, per se. I don't think, because, like, where the originals ends, it's, like, past the Vampire Diaries.
Oh, no, what it was, too. You're right.
I did like how what they did at the very end of the finale, where they had the, They kind of showed, like, the afterlife and, like, Elena seeing her family and stuff again. It was very sweet. I thought that was very sweet.
I mean, especially since multiple times it seemed like they really wanted to drive home the fact that they were destroying not destroying the afterlife, but like destroying the choices for people to go. It's like, y'all destroyed hell, you destroyed the other side. It's like, where am I going when I die?
Yeah, I guess
what is actually happening to me?
They got rid of the torturous locations of where you go when you die, so now you just, I guess, have peace. Or become a vengeful ghost who doesn't want to go nowhere.
Yeah.
So let's get into our top five.
Mm. Okay. So I love Caroline. Mm. I do love Bonnie. I want to say I ride for Damon. Mm-hmm. I very much support Klaus. And I really, because I can't, like, I need to think more. But I really like Rebecca.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait a minute. I forgot my girl Catherine. Someone has to go.
But who?
Rebecca. I will say honorable mention to Rebecca and plop Catherine right on in there because Catherine was that bitch.
I can agree with that. Do you want to explain your top five at all?
Or? Oh, my bad. So let's see. I'm going to say Bonnie, very easy. It's just, I mean, rooting for everyone black. She had the hardest time to go through, and yet she still constantly showed up, showed out, and did what she needed to do. Caroline kind of annoyed me at first, but then I'm like, she turned into being, like, she made the best out of a bad situation very quickly. She always knew what was up. I'm like, she wasn't a dumb character very often. It's like, oh, that's stupid. Like I just, like, even, like, again, when she was bad, turned off her emotions, she still was the most in control. I'm like, Caroline has her shit together. It's like, you will not catch her.
No,
together.
Not at all.
Even with no emotion, she said, you're not going to catch me. And I'm like, you know what? Respect. Damon, I love a good bad boy. You're just trying to constantly change him. Well, not change him, but make him better. I'm like, I'm here for it because anytime he showed any kind of like softness, it's like, I don't know, being bad, but with good intention, well, with intention at all, mm-hmm. just seems better because it's like, in comparison, like, Stephanie, you're so boring. Yes, you get it. You're the golden child. You want this. You want, like, boom.
Yeah.
Damon had a good, I was like, Damon had a good balance of just like being rightfully so selfish sometimes. It's like, okay, I get it. Making selfish decisions, they're like, it's human. Like, not everyone is, like, I think it was more human of, like, versus something like, oh, I gotta do it. It's like, sometimes people just want to be selfish. And it's like, I like that Damon was him through and through. Like, he didn't have an overall, like, growing arc, really. Mm. But through and through, Damon stayed true. Like, he could never disappoint because the bar was never set high for him. And
true.
It's like, if he did improve, it's like, oh, great. This is what I wanted for you. But if not, it's like, well, this is what I expected.
I agree with that.
Let's see. Klaus, I mean, I guess same boat as Damon. He was bad with intentions. He had a reason. But when you see him soften up and actually try and help, it's like, I like your soft side. I get why you're bad. Again, you're in a circumstantial situation. I get it. You're good. Not really. It's like, you're a good person that does bad things in a way, semi, but you're also kind of a bad person. But one doesn't outweigh the other because you're trying.
Who, Klaus?
I think so. Yeah.
In what way was he trying? He did not try until he decided that he liked Caroline, and Caroline was like, I'm not gonna stand for any of that shit. And he was like, okay, well, fine, I'll become a better person. Klaus, in general, doesn't become a better person until he has hope, because hope forces him to become a better person because he has a child to look after. So I'm like, okay, I want to be with you on that.
I take back him trying. Yeah, I was like, because you really don't see him be a, like, he was more, in my opinion, like, starting out like him. He was just a good villain. I'm like, I like villains who are just good at being bad.
I agree with
it's
that.
Like, when you're a villain and you're like, cool, make their lives hard. Yeah. And then him growing, well, not growing, but being forced into being a better person, it still goes him. Like, he still has that capacity in him to change for someone.
Yeah. I feel like his stint on The Vampire Diaries, they pulled back the veneer to show why he was the way he was. And he was very much a grown-up abused child. So he lashed out a lot at other people and had no room for disloyalty or anything. It's like, you're either with me or against me, and like that type of stuff. So I got where they were coming from with his character. So I agree with you on that, because you do start to feel for him, especially when you see people betray him and how it affects him and like stuff like that.
I mean, Klaus overall just needed therapy. Honestly, so did Damon and Stefan. A lot of their issues could have been solved with therapy. But, and then last but certainly not least, my main bitch, Catherine. She annoyed me the first time around, but this time I'm just like, yes, the queen of being just a good villain.
I mean, she took over hell. I don't know how she did it, but she took it over.
Like, you were dead and you said, no, not done yet. I'm coming back to take, like, her will to live was deep. And again, another circumstantial person of she all her life has just been trying to survive.
All my life I had to fight.
Like, that's what she, I'm like, she's literally been running and trying to survive her entire life. So I'm like, you know what? I can't blame you for becoming the person you are because of what you had to deal with. And it's like, yes, you could put in the effort to try and not be a bitch at every turn to people who want to see good in you and believe you can change and, like, help you. And she's like, no, I don't want to do none of that. She has trust issues. If Catherine would have went to therapy, she also probably would have been okay. But she didn't do that. She said, I like the life I live. Because when she was like, yeah, I can finally stop running, she didn't take that opportunity to be like, I'm a good person. It's like, no, she said, I'm a bad person and I'm okay with that. And in turn, I'm okay with that because you made Elena's life hard in particular. And for that, I support you.
Sidebar, did you support Catherine's little relationship with Elijah? I thought it was like a fake, but I feel like she did actually have feelings for him.
It was random in my opinion. I mean, I didn't give it much attention. It's like, I thought it was also fake. I thought she was just using him, but I'm indifferent to it.
Weirdly enough, I kind of supported Elijah and Elena. I thought that would have been a fun storyline to do. Because they also had weird on-screen chemistry where I'm like, do you two want to have sex?
There was some chemistry there, but I think it comes from Elijah just being an actual, like, upstanding person. Of, like, if you're finally seeing someone that's technically kind of a villainish person, but, like, he means what he says. And so when you, like, have to trust him, it's hard, but you're like, but you know you can. Because, like, the villain is a trustworthy person. That's a hard concept to grasp.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. Because they're always at the point of opposition where you're like, I already don't know what your motives are. So,
yeah.
Okay, so my top five in this particular order are Rebecca, Matt Donovan, Alaric, Bonnie, and then Caroline. Now, I feel like I've explained why I like Alaric and whatnot, so I may just leave him out of my explanation. But again, very attracted to him. I thought he was a good person who didn't need to stick around to help them once he got his resolution with his wife. He really could have just cut and ran. But he said, sure, I'll stick around. And I mean, I really like how he was trying to get out of the life in, especially when he had his daughters. He was like, I can't be doing this shit. But, you know, at the same time, he was like, I kind of love it. So, and for that, I'm like, you know what? At least be true to yourself. And he was. So that's why Lark's number three. Matt Donovan. I'm just going 3-2-1 and then I'm jumping back down to 4. Because I'm going to have to really explain the Bonnie one. But Matt Donovan, I felt very bad for him because he was just through the ringer for a long time. He didn't even really know what was going on until, like, damn near season 2, I feel like. Because they didn't tell him shit. It was just stuff happening around him. And he's like, what's going on? And they'd be like, forget what you saw and go home. And he just had to deal with it. And him wanting retribution for his dead girlfriend against Stefan, I thought was kind of funny because Stefan kind of was very indirectly involved in that. But at the same time, I'm like, sure, go for it.
Yeah.
Why not? So, I mean, I wasn't really in support of him becoming a cop, but it made sense because they needed someone who knew what the fuck was up. And he knew what was up and how to, like, actually protect people. So in that regard, I support him. Rebecca, she's my number one just because she never asked for any of this bullshit. Everyone fucked her over. Her family, her brothers, her mom, her dad, random people she didn't know who off the street. Everyone. I don't know why everyone's out to shit on this girl.
She really, that was like very much honorable mention to Rebecca. Like very, she could have been in there. Honestly. Rebecca was dead dirty constantly.
Yeah. I mean, they really tried to make up for it in the originals because they gave her a good storyline with Marcel, probably one of the finest black men to ever walk. And in the end, he proposed to her and was just like, I got you the vampire cure so you can become human.
Like, I'm glad she gets a happy ending overall because I'm just like, this girl just wanted to be human and have a life. You're right. She didn't ask for any of this.
At all. Especially because their mom didn't even tell them what was going on. She was just like, drink this! And then they died and woke up vampires. So we're jumping down to number four. Bonnie is number four. Only because Bonnie made a lot of questionable decisions, in my opinion, especially on my second watch of this. I was like, bitch, you ain't had to do none of that. Her grandma always told her, stay out of their business.
She did. She said, you don't belong there. But here she was constantly tap dancing for the white man to save their lives. And I'm like...
And that's why she ended up in number four for me. Because I was with her up until a certain point, and I was just like... She was being manipulated and used, especially in the first couple of seasons. And then there was a point where she was like, I've had enough of this. And she had enough power to be like, don't fuck with me. But then made the active decision to do shit she didn't have to do. Why are you doing this, Bonnie? Because I want to. And I'm like, I support you wanting to do this, but at the same time, I don't think you should.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you don't need to. Why? You finally got out. Why are you going back in?
I really, one of the moments for Bonnie that I really wanted to mention was that beautiful moment in, like, I think it was either the series finale or right towards the end where, like, she got to see her grams and, like, all of the other Bennett witches and they, like, focused their energy to send the Hellfire back. I thought that was, like, one of the, I teared up. I was like, this is so beautiful. I love this. All these Black women.
Together.
People of color. Exactly.
She can do it.
Yes, we can.
Bonnie did Oprah, not die Oprah, five Oprah. Times.
I feel like there was another moment that really pissed me off that Bonnie did. I'm going to just talk about her and Enzo real quick. Like, the relationship, I was very iffy on it. I'm like, I wanted my girl to be happy. So I supported it because she was happy with Enzo and he was cute and romantic and whatnot. But at the same time, I was just like, this ain't for you, girl. You need someone else. Which is what she got in the end because he died. So she had to go find someone else anyway. And I mean, I hope she found herself either a normal man or a witch man or something. But
yeah, when I saw her and Enzo kiss, I was like, what is happening in this season and why?
They were just throwing shit at a wall. They were the only two characters who weren't, like, together. So they were just like, sure, why not?
Also, Enzo seemed, I mean, I don't know what age Enzo turned, but he just seemed older than her. That made it seem kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I assumed he was in, like, his 20s or something, but it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, because the actor itself, I'm like, why do you seem like you're maybe in your mid-30s on this girl? I mean, I guess it's not super weird because he was in her 20s, but it just, like, it was like, I supported it because finally, yes, you deserve to be happy. But of course, who am I to say, like, or even have hope that you're going to be happy? Because they're not going to know that.
Exactly. My real thing is I'm hoping for a Bonnie to pop up in the Legacies just for, like, one episode. I just need one episode with Bonnie coming around just to, I don't even know, just do something, show up with a daughter, something.
You know Kat Graham is too good for that now. But is she, though? Because she does Netflix, so...
That's the real tea. And not just Netflix. Netflix Christmas movies.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a step. You're just a bougie version of, like, the Lifetime and Hallmark. It's like, oh, you're on Netflix. Cool.
The CW to, like, Hallmark Channel Christmas movie pipeline. What is it? They go directly.
Because it's funny because I was like, I noticed in earlier seasons she was credited as Katherine Graham and then eventually just came Kat. I was like, oh.
She's like, now I'm too cool for that. I mean, it's better to go by Kat anyway.
Yeah.
Especially, it's just more homogenous, especially for her music career as well.
Her music's...
Let's not talk about that. I don't want to say anything in one direction or the other, so let's just skip over it. I support her acting career.
Okay. Wow, no clue she had a music career.
Yeah, just go. It's on Spotify. Just go listen to a few songs, see how you feel. The best one is Graffiti. That's the best, but...
Put your graffiti on me.
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh no, Kat. Okay, I'll listen, but looking at these album covers alone, it looks like you should just stay in Netflix Christmas world. Call the police? Kool-Aid Man? No. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak, Chow. So number five, Caroline. Obvious reasons. Loved her. Especially after, I mean, I liked her pretty much through season one, because I understood why she was acting the way she was, especially when she rationalize why she was behaving the way she was. She's like, I know I'm acting crazy or whatever, but you know, it's always like Elena, and it's like, why is it always Elena? And I agree, why the fuck is it always Elena? Because she ain't got nothing more special than you do, because you're just as pretty, you're just as smart, you do, honestly, you do way more than she does, because her ass is too sad and sitting in her house and doing nothing. Caroline was out here organizing school dances, putting on like school parades, the Miss Mystic Falls pageant.
True, and they hated on her so much. It's like, oh my gosh, she cares about all this stuff. I'm like, at least she's doing something.
At least she cares about something.
Like she has hobbies. She has things she's interested in versus just being with the vampire boy in town. Like, and even when she became a vampire, she said, no, I still want these things. I still care about the dances. I still want, like, oh, Caroline was another one that stayed true and true to who she was, no matter if she was even a vampire.
It's true. And we support, especially when she became a mom.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I could do with her not being a mom, TBH. It's like, it fits for her, but at the same time, I think I just, like, she turned into a person that I could see not being a mom. It's like, you do very well independently with, like, whatever man you decide to be with. Like, you seem like a pack up and go type of person versus, like, ugh, no, I have to worry about the kids. But, of course, she fell into that mom role pretty easily, but still.
Yeah. I mean, she really had no other options. I mean, as a vampire, she'll never be able to have kids. So, you know, her being able to, like, do that and then kind of raise these two girls who, I mean, in Legacies, I think they turned out pretty well. I mean, she's not around as often because she's, I guess, overseas. But
they don't see her.
Yeah. I mean, Lizzie constantly is going to see her ass. But, you know, Lizzie is the most, I think, like her.
Yeah.
Especially with her type A tendencies. But, you know, again, we're not talking about the Legacies. We'll talk about that in a different episode. So yeah, that was my top five.
Yeah, I will say my top five was in no particular order. Because Catherine would have been maybe one or two. I think Caroline is definitely number one. Catherine would be number two. Bonnie number three. Damon number four. Klaus number five.
I can agree with that order. Again, just Bonnie just made some questionable choices where I'm just like, girl, what you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you ain't always gotta be doing shit for the white man. You can just do shit that you wanna do.
She said no.
And she never made any other random black friends, which I didn't support. Like, even when she went to college. I'm like, you can't join like the black student union. What?
They said that's too much of a storyline we don't feel like putting time into. Cause then it would just turn into a whole bunch of black kids dying because of A, B, and C. Nah.
I mean, it's true. And that's absolutely true. They probably would have. There were too many vampires around for it not to happen.
Yeah.
But, guys, we did it. We got through the whole series of The Vampire Diaries.
God, there's so much. And it's because they offer multiple plot lines in each season. It's not like one plot line throughout a season. It's like, no, you're getting one and a half. Because so much stuff happens over the course of 8 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many characters we didn't even talk about. But, I mean, they don't fucking matter. Like, Catherine's daughter, who cares?
Catherine's daughter. Oh, yeah.
That model girl with, like, their really weird accent. And I was just like, I want to believe you, but...
It's like, whatever. I mean, super honorable mention to Graham, Miss Whitley.
She was also around a lot longer than I remember her being in the first run, because I could have sworn she died, like, so quick in the first run. But she was around until, like, almost the end of the first season, I feel like.
Yeah. And fuck again. Bonnie, you should have let these people go a long time ago. You lost so much because of them. Your grandma kept saying, like, what else do you have to lose before you're like, I'm good.
Yeah, even in the afterlife, she was trying to give her advice, and she's like,
nah.
But I'm going to do this. These are my friends.
Like, Graham's was shaking her head.
My grandmother from the afterlife.
You just going to do what you want.
If this child don't stop tap dancing for the white man. At least she ended up with a brown boy, though, because Enzo was, like, what, Italian, Spanish, somewhere up in there?
Italian, Spanish, I call him. Not a spicy white, more, he was still in the white family, depending on what Spanish we're talking.
Yeah.
But if
he felt more Spain Spanish than, like...
Then, no, he's still in the white family. He was just a tan white.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But again, he could have been Italian. He could have been Italian because he also was like olive skin enough. He could be Ariana Grande-ing us.
Yeah, I could see that. I was like, this is as good as he's gonna get. Barney, you're stuck. Honestly, if I were her, after Elena was alive, I would have just told her, I'm sorry, but I can't be your friend. Too much comes with being your friend, and like, things seem good now, but what if later they're not? I don't want to be here when they're not.
Exactly. I've moved on.
So I'm gonna leave. Glad you're alive. Maybe send me the baby pictures if that happens, but don't call me. Don't call me.
Because I know it's never going to be anything good. Hey, Bonnie, can you do a spout click?
Nope. Better Peppa Pig your ass real quick. No.
But, you know, we've reached the end of the Vampire Diaries. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Deandra, so much for coming on to talk with me about this.
Well, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'll have to have you back so that we can... Because we also watch Grey's Anatomy and... I think that we could definitely do a talk about that.
Move to LA. Yeah.
I know. But we would just talk about the whole series. I would say let's just overview the whole series and talk about points that we would like versus the whole, like, breaking it down. Because it's too much.
Yeah, I was like, no, that's too much. We could definitely do the big major point of things happening, but we'll talk after.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. Bye. See you next time.